If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You guys get your baseball fill in hour number two. Hopefully you did, because I'm excited. Thursday is opening day in Major League Baseball as we start hour number three. Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri, SiriusXM channel 159 radio on the Sports Grid Network, having some fun. And this time, we always like to reach out to the public, Joe, and feel what they're feeling out here. Get their point of view to be an interactive show, which we'll get there in just a minute. But the vibes here for opening day on Thursday, like, I always like the previews, right? We'll get them in today. We'll get them in tomorrow. And then Thursday, we go live at this point. But it sort of says, ooh, look at this price point here. Where did this change from? Like, for me, like Mike Trout, 16-1, had to open up at 50-1 or 60-1 to win the MVP. Joe Friso tells me no. He was always 16-1. So even though you've looked at that stuff, just getting that final look before the regular season starts feels good. Baseball's in the air.
Yeah, and again, baseball is here, but there's going to be a lot of familiar names not wearing the same uniforms that a lot of folks got to get used to as well. It is certainly a new look, and there's going to be a couple of new ballparks like we highlighted for some teams that you're going to be like, is that a minor league ballpark? Like, what are we looking at right now? Yeah, welcome to Major League Baseball 2025.
I always like the baseball season and how it starts, too, because there's websites that we all like to use and statistics that we all know and love. Yep. So by the time, let's just say, we're in the middle of May, we all sound like geniuses. Like, you can just pull out the repertoire of weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers and, you know, how a pitcher reacts and strikeout numbers. How do you approach, though, Joe, the first, like, 2 to 3 weeks of the season where it's like, all right, good pitcher, going against a lineup that was good last year, and now I'm going to play some RBI props and play a side on this game. Like, what is your approach to early season betting in Major League Baseball?
And learn. That's my advice. Never diving in, because if you're going to try to take anything about what you saw in spring training, no. Totally different ball game. I like to see... And I love, I'm a big first five player, Donnie, as you know. So I love the first five markets. And a lot of that is, it's always contingent upon starting pitching and rotations, right? And so that is what I focus my attention on in the first couple of weeks. I try not to dive into the games because the variance is over the top in April. And I try not to go there. I try to figure out which teams I think there are going to be value after the first couple of weeks to focus on.
You're right about that, too, because the most painful thing in sports, like, you can have a large lead blown in football. We see it so many times, but you're sort of used to it at that point. College basketball kids, wait a second. I was up 11 points. Now I'm going to lose this game. The NBA, I had a 26-point lead in the second quarter. I'm losing by the time the fourth quarter starts. We get that here. But there has been nothing worse over your betting career than a Major League Baseball bullpen meltdown late in the game. Because there's no clock. You don't get up six runs in the seventh inning like, hey, just stall this game out. We're good. You still have to get those out. So when Joe brings up, like, betting the first five, you can afford, like, hey, you know what? I bet on this pitcher. He wasn't good. I'll live with it. Nothing is worse than... You tell me that starting pitcher went 7 1/3 innings, gave up 2 hits and 1 run. I'm up 4-1. And by the bottom of the ninth, I just lost 5-4 in this game. Nothing worse than that. So I understand that. And yes, Joe is correct. Mm-hmm. Wait, have fun, listen, and learn until those numbers come in. Because there's nothing worse than saying, well, I thought that pitcher was really good in spring training. Stop it. It's completely different. They're working on different things. They're not stretched out yet. And who knows who's going to show up in the bullpen, which again, brings us here where we like to reach out to the public and say, I wonder what they're feeling today. Should we fade the public or not? So at our Sports Grid account here, we ask the question with Fade the Public, which team is the best bet to win the American League? Now, the three teams that we picked out, the Yankees at a plus 390 price, the Orioles at a plus 650 price, and the Astros at 8-1, right in order. But also, we leave other in there so the people can vote and give their picks, or if they don't think the Yankees, Orioles, and Astros will be that. So from myself, Joe, I voted for other, because I'm high on the Red Sox at a decent price point. But it looks like I'm not fading the public. I am the public because 36% voted for other, 9% for the Astros, 36% roughly for the Orioles, and the Yankees at 18.6%. So, Joe, if I ask you the same question along with the public, which team is your best bet to win the American League? Who is that team?
Well, my best bet at this point, and I'd have, you know, there's a lot of asterisks that you got to put next to it at this point in the game. And, you know, health is the biggest. The Yankees do win the American League pennant if and only if the core players stay healthy enough and we don't miss Aaron Judge for 40 games. And, you know, you're going to have to do it without Cole, right? So Max Fried, who's also been very injury prone, he better step up here. I mean, this entire Yankees roster, when healthy, pound for pound, the best. You're not beating them. However, we know the chances of all of those guys, important players, staying healthy is a totally different ballgame. But as of today, I'll agree with the public. I think the Yankees are the team to beat, but don't be shocked if the Yankees ultimately beat themselves.
Yeah, we'll see. And again, we expect the expectations. Obviously, the Yankees do have deep pockets, but it still gets me. Like, the Yankees get a player, and the Red Sox did this just a few years ago. Like, imagine this, like an AL East team. Money should be of no object at any time. You have solid players and certainly superstar players that your fans absolutely love. And the Yankees to lose out to a cross-town rival because they didn't want to pay Juan Soto will never get me enough. The same thing's like, hey, you know what? Red Sox, we don't know if we want to pay Mookie Betts. We'd rather have Alex Verdugo back here in the trade, and that's a good market here. So those are always crazy things that happen. But the Yankees should be able to make moves, but you just don't want to make moves to make moves. Like, oh, we lost Gerrit Cole. Let's just go pay another pitcher to try to replace him who's probably not as good. We'll see how the Yankees go. Maybe they have something inter, you know, forte from coming up from the minors into the majors. But answer me this question, too, because this is a little bit off topic. You see the second-place team there in the odds market of the Orioles at a plus 650 price. One of the most aesthetically pleasing ballparks in the history of professional sports is Camden Yards. It was beautiful the day it opened. And then around 25 years later, Joe, they go, boy, I don't know if we like left field because there's too many home runs. They wrecked that ballpark in left field. And now if you see, Joe, the sort of construction that they're doing to sort of bring it in and make the wall jut out a little bit less and have an angle, why did they just not leave it the way it was here? But at least I'm glad where they understand the travesty they made it and are trying to somewhat correct it in left field.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you have a organization now for the first time in forever, Donnie, has made back-to-back postseasons. Now, they haven't won a game yet in the postseason, but they've actually made it to the postseason. And so I don't think the ballpark is the reason why they've gotten swept in the playoffs in back-to-back years. I do think, though, that they certainly have enough talent. Very similar starting lineup, deep bench, the right manager. They've got a ton of young arms. There is no reason why the Orioles cannot compete here. But I'd be careful because they did the same thing with the Rogers Center in Toronto, Don, if you recall, a couple of years ago. And you know what? Toronto scored fewer runs after the adjustments when they tried to actually bring the wall in to help guys like Vlad and company. And you know what? Didn't work. They scored fewer runs by adjusting the ballpark.
Like that's the biggest unsolved mystery I may have ever thought. Because I remember when they were doing that. Like, I think it was during the COVID years where they couldn't play in Toronto, but they're playing, I think it was like Sailor Field or whatever it was in Buffalo. Yeah. I was like, man, those fields are small. And they did. They were hitting titanic shots out of that place because it was a minor league ball club. And even like Rogers Center was a decent hitting ballpark anyway once the roof came off in the summer. There's a little bit of warmth in there. And then I was like, wait a second. Most ballparks change it to say, we're going to go a little bit deeper because it's too small. No, we're going to bring the fences in. And it actually didn't help Toronto, which is a wild scene. So I'm glad you brought that one up. But always, like the Orioles, like, oh, our pitchers are so bad, they just give up home runs. Hey, How about you draft better and sign better pitchers for your ballpark, and your hitters go, yeah, we got some dudes that can hit tanks in this ballpark, and now we're hitting 400-foot bombs to left field that are hitting the scoreboard or flying out at the warning track. Stop it.
Yep.
We like home runs. We like scoring out here. We don't want 11-9 games every day, but come on now. Taking away 390-foot blast down the line because you were unhappy that your pitchers used to give up home runs, that's certainly a travesty at that point here. So there's that. You get it. You talk to the public. They give you the feedback. We give the feedback back to the public. It's Fade the Public. What a segment here. We'll be right back. Basketball Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action. That's probably the best basketball you're going to get until at least Thursday and Friday night of the Sweet 16, Saturday and Sunday here in the Elite Eight. And of course, the Sports Grid Network's got you covered. Make sure you tune in to Bracket Central in-game live. Fantastic viewing, a lot of bets, and a lot of fun. But before we get to those games, the NBA is taking center stage tonight. South Florida, the place to be. It's the Golden State Warriors, and it's the Miami Heat. And if anybody didn't know, the Miami Heat used to have Jimmy Butler. He couldn't stand his time in Miami by the time it was done. He was moved on to play for the Warriors, and now the Warriors head back to take on the Heat tonight. Anticipated starting lineup for the Warriors here: Curry, Pajemski, Butler, Green, and Post. And away we go. Before we get to the handicap of this game, Joe, give me a vibe for down in South Florida for Jimmy returning to Miami. Is it apathy because the Heat aren't very good? Is it, boy, we hate Jimmy Butler now? Or does he get a King's ovation coming back to town?
Well, they had announced a couple of days ago that the Miami Heat were going to put together a video montage in celebration of Jimmy Butler's time with the organization, and which, you know, it spans through some, you know, a couple of runs to the finals and a whole lot of great times. And, you know, of course, Jimmy Butler in his usual ways there, where it's all about him. He's like, I'm indifferent to it. He doesn't really care about it. So I would listen. 16-3 is what the Warriors are since acquiring Jimmy Butler. They have covered 11 of those 19 games in which he has been a part of. Miami just ended up snapping that 10-game losing streak. They're only 5-17 since they traded Jimmy. But I think that bulletin board material of Jimmy Butler pretending like, yeah, whatever, so what? After all those guys in that locker room that played with him and laid it on the line with him, boy, oh boy, I would expect a big early first half from the Miami Heat here tonight.
Yeah, particularly the Miami Heat, too. Last nine games, 1-9 overall, but that one win just came in their last outing here, so things may be looking on the up and up. You take a look here at the Golden State Warriors heading into this game. They have lost their last game, but are 8-2 in their last 10 games and playing very good basketball, as you said, with Jimmy Butler coming over that instance. If we're taking a look at the lines in this game, 7:30 tip time tonight between these two. The opening number at FanDuel here in New Jersey was a 4-point favorite towards the Golden State Warriors. That's now up to 5.5 live right now, and 5.5 at most major outlets. The total, very low, opened up at 218, but has dropped to 217 now live at the FanDuel Sportsbook in this game. So the Warriors -5.5, the Heat 217 as a price point with the total here. Any leans in this game that you're looking forward to and some action that you might have with this one, Joe?
Listen, Miami plays harder than any team. The problem with Miami this year is they can't close. Most of those losses in that 10-game losing streak, they had the lead going into the third quarter, Donnie. And usually, and they just absolutely could not close. So if that it ain't broke, I'm not fixing it here. I think Miami at home, a little salty. I think they come out, they have the lead in the first half. And I'd be looking to back the Warriors in the second half because we know the Miami Heat, their fourth quarter problems continue. They have been all year long. The Warriors are a top five fourth quarter team. Their winning margin in the fourth quarter, top five. Miami, bottom three in the fourth quarter. If it ain't broke, Donnie, let's not fix it. Heat early, Warriors late.
The best part about this, too, is it's almost like the Miami Heat figure they're destined to be in the play-in round at that 10 seed because the Raptors, Nets, Sixers, Hornets, and Wizards aren't trying to win any more basketball games. So the Heat literally could probably, I actually want to say, lose out the rest of the way and still have a three-game cushion being that 10 seed here. I don't think they're going to catch the Bulls at 32 wins or the Magic at 34. So the pressure for like the Heat to win or, let's just say, try to win again isn't really there at this point, but there is pressure for the Golden State Warriors looking for seeding and how they play. Now, if we approach Jimmy Butler props in this game, coming home, you always want to put on a show to say, this is what you're missing out on, even though it was Jimmy that actually wanted to leave, not the Miami Heat just unceremoniously throwing him out of town. You look at the points, 20.5, assists, 6.5, rebounds, 5.5, points, rebounds, and assists combined, 34.5. Any one of those props, Joe, stick out for you for Jimmy Butler tonight?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Jimmy gets his 20, you know, 20 or more points there, 21 points. Would not shock me in the least bit. He's going to get the minutes. He is going to want to get those minutes. With Steph Curry still questionable, and he may not even play, it's going to have to be all about Jimmy Butler in this game anyway, and I think he'll embrace that. So his points prop, I have no problem with. But also, don't forget, is Wiggins playing? Because this is also a pretty salty spot for Wiggins coming back on the other side with Miami. So it's an intriguing game tonight, to say the least.
Yeah, it doesn't look like in the anticipated starting lineup or lineup, it doesn't have Wiggins listed in there at this point. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, it does for the Heat. I apologize. Looking at the wrong side there. So yeah, you're right about it. Back and forth on both sides there, ready to go here at this point. Let's bring up one more game before we hit the break. It's the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. We talked about the Mavericks yesterday picking up a victory with Anthony Davis back. There's no shot he's playing on a back-to-back. The Knicks, again, without their superstar in Jalen Brunson, a 10-point favorite across the board, up from 8 earlier this morning, and a total of 224.5. The Knicks have not been playing good basketball. Is this got to be a bounce-back spot for them tonight? No?
Well, Brunson and McBride already been ruled out, right, for this game. Yeah. Which means, to me, this is a great prop betting game. And Mikal Bridges, whatever his point total is, it's not going to be enough. Because it's going to be all about Bridges and him being able to score points here with no Brunson, no Miles McBride. They didn't play against Washington. I think he just dropped 27 over the weekend. So every time Brunson and Bridges don't play, he usually shows up and dominates. I think that happens again against Dallas as well.
Yeah, somebody's got to score. Karl-Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, and Cam Payne expected to be the starting lineup tonight for the New York Knicks going up against the Dallas Mavericks. That's a lofty spread at 10, but also for a team in the Mavericks that I don't think Anthony Davis is going to play, but they still want to make the playoffs. They can't be any throwaway situations late in the season. But the Knicks also, sooner than later, have to start playing better basketball. Maybe they will. A couple more NBA games to take a look at before we bring on the coach and take one look at the 16 Elite Eight and his thoughts and much more coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action. Let's keep it rolling tonight. It looks like, what, we have 3, 6, 8 games on the card tonight. The next focus for us is going to go out west, and that's a 10 p.m. Eastern game tonight between the Oklahoma City Thunder, the best team in the Western Conference, and have clinched the number one overall seed, now fighting to keep ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers for home court advantage all the way through the NBA Finals. The Thunder on the road to take on the Kings, who are getting 10 points at home. Now, when we look at this game, right, 228.5 is the opening number as a total up to 231.5 live. 8.5 is the favorite for OKC here at FanDuel in New Jersey, up to now 10. But understand this, too. Like, Sacramento is fighting for their lives to get into the playoffs. And the NBA is like, hey, we're going to slap you with a back-to-back. It is at home against the Celtics, who beat you up yesterday, and now the Oklahoma City Thunder, when you played yesterday, as a double-digit favor. Anticipated starting lineup looks really good for the Thunder tonight. SGA, Lu Dort, Williams, Holmgren, and Hartenstein, and then the usual suspects in the lineup tonight here for Sacramento, Monk, Levine, DeRozan, Murray, and Sabonis. Now, it is a back-to-back, but it is at home. They lost last night. Is this a walk-away victory for OKC for you, Joe, or is 10 points too much to lay on the road?
Well, it's keep an eye on Monk and McDermott are still listed as questionable for this game here tonight. So, and Sabonis is a big, is he going to go back to back? It's the second of a back to back. And this has never been a good spot for Sacramento all year long. And the defense of Sacramento has been absolutely brutal. I think over the last seven games, they're averaging 124 a game. They're giving up to teams here. They're allowing them to shoot 50% from three, 53% overall. And if we're OKC, like you mentioned, with not a whole heck of a lot at stake here, but they are at home. And we've already seen them sit all their key guys and still drop 120 or more points on teams. I think the team total of Oklahoma City, if you want nothing to do with the spread, expect Sacramento's defense to lack. Expect Oklahoma City, no matter who's playing, to score points. I saw it at 119.5, 120.5. I would go over the team total for Oklahoma City tonight at home.
Yeah, as we talked about, Oklahoma City, the best record in the NBA with 59 wins and 12 losses. Clinched that top spot in the West. That's out of the way. Now looking to sort of settle in to that true number one seed. Winners of six straight games, which yeah, it's the shame of it. We win six games, the Boston Celtics. We just played them last night. Oh, who's the other really good team and hottest in the NBA? It's OKC. Should get them on a back-to-back. But I did want to bring up that picture here for the Kings. 8, 9, and 10. Let's just say, as the seedings here in the West. I don't know if they're going to be able to catch the Timberwolves, who are in eight at 41 wins when Sacramento is 35. But behind them, 35 wins, the Phoenix Suns. 35 wins, the Dallas Mavericks. So, of course, you're playing upper-level competition, but they're both home games. You wanted to at least have a split or rest all of your key players one game and play them the second game and see how that matches up. And maybe they thought that was the best last night, where it's like the Celtics are coming in on a back-to-back. We're going to be fully healthy, and it didn't work out in their favor. Interesting times there in Sacramento, but certainly needing a victory. But again, wanting a victory and then playing the best team in the NBA, two different things. Let's move it out to the Atlanta Hawks and the Houston Rockets down in H-Town tonight. This line opened up as an 8-point favorite at FanDuel New Jersey overnight, and now since has been lowered to 7.5 at FanDuel and across the board. A total of 232.5 has now risen to 236 at most outlets, including the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Any thoughts on the Rockets on the road? Do we get points? Is it a favorite game? How are you playing this one out tonight, Joe?
Oh, it feels like a lot of points, though, right? I mean, Houston, second place in the Western Conference, you talked about, and a lot of that had to do with that nine-game winning streak in which they were still a little shorthanded, but boy, oh boy, they got Amen Thompson back, and this team not only defensively can limit you, but offensively can score. But let's not sleep on what the Hawks have been able to do as well lately. This is a team that is dropping a ton of points here, and they are shooting out of their mind. We're talking nearly a 65% field goal percentage in games as of late. Can Houston slow them down? Maybe. But this feels like this is going to be a high-scoring game to me. It's an over for me in Houston with Atlanta.
Yeah, important on both sides too, Joe, as you take a look, because you see the Houston Rockets at 46-26. Now, you might have thought like, hey, slept on them a little bit. Well, where's the Nuggets and the Lakers? Falling back a little bit over their past 10 games, because the Houston Rockets did lose their last game, but had a nice win streak before that. And behind them, the Nuggets, 4-6 in the last 10. The Lakers, 3-7 in the last 10, gaining ground. So every victory for the Rockets is important to stay in that two spot here. You flip it over to the other side and take a look at the Hawks, where I don't think they're going to be able to get out of the play-in rounds, but you can lose back, which means the Magic, 34 wins, right on their heels as well. So a lot of things up in the air in the NBA as we move forward. A lot of teams tanking, a lot of teams also trying to play and jockey for playoff position. We'll see how it turns out. But a good NBA slate tonight, but it's time to turn those eyeballs back over to the college game. Coach James Young joins us next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the early line, hour number three, action packed. Talked a lot of NBA action, but we got to get back to the hardwood in college basketball. The Sweet 16 coming on Thursday and Friday, and the Elite Eight on Saturday and Sunday. And away we go, Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri. And we had to bring in the coach because we need some help across the board. We need the analytics, we need the analysis. And he's Coach James Young, and he's here with us, Sports Grid's finest.
Oh, you're talking about me? Oh, but
see that? Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Thank you.
Look at that. We're hyping you up.
Gentlemen. Where's my partner, Big Ten Ben? Where is he at? Oh, he's probably resting up for Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like six days off this week because he had to work one extra night. So get used to that. Him and Kevin Ross, I don't know what type of coup they got here at the Sports Grid Network, but they got it here. Now, Coach, let's get right down to the business here. The women's game was in such good hands the past couple years with superstar after superstar after superstar, raising the talent level and also raising the visibility of the game. Went to sleep last night, woke up this morning, it was all over my timeline. Juju Watkins suffers the ACL down for the season. Who knows what it means for next year? We can always point back to, hey, Paige Beckers has it before, but the brightest star in the sport, we're not going to get to watch a championship run here now, Coach.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Donnie, the way they set it up, the NCAA women are really good at creating storylines, right, with matchups. Mm-hmm. You saw it in the second round with Haley Van Lith at TCU 4 going against Jeff Waltz, her former coach at Louisville. You saw it last year when the regional finals had LSU and Iowa playing in Albany. And then they were doing it again. And it was supposed to be Juju Watkins versus Paige Beckers in the Elite Eight. They lined it up perfectly. And then we got an injury. And this is devastating for a women's sport because I'll be honest with you. You know, I remember when Juju came into college and I was talking to a couple of guys I know that's on the McDonald's All-American Committee. And I said, guys, give me out of all of these women's basketball players, including Caitlin Clark, who was going to be the best pro, and they both said Juju over Caitlin Clark, over Angel Reese, over Paige Beckers, over, you know, Lauren Betts or Cameron Brink. This was the superstar. She did absolutely everything. And now Lindsey Gottlieb is in a predicament now because, as you probably expect, the lines have completely flipped and moved with Juju getting hurt because now the pathway, and it probably shortens her odds. I thought UConn was winning the national championship before the tournament started. Guys, I think it just solidifies the chance that they should at least get to the Final Four. And if you look at that right there, their price is shaved, I think, at 70 or 80 cents. I think they were plus 240 before the injury, now to plus 170. So the markets are already reflected the move that Juju is out for the season. And I'll be honest with you guys, the way she got hurt, this ain't just the rest of this year. I think Juju's out all of next year as well.
Yeah. So were you impressed? I mean, listen, they handled business. She went down in the first quarter last night. And, you know, I hate to say it, it's such a shame because they almost didn't need her. Any chance this team rallies around her and they still make a run at this? Or you really do think it's UConn's to lose at this point?
I'll tell you right now, Kansas State's a problem. Kansas State's going to pose a problem. Kansas State, one of the better teams in the Big 12, has a big, it's pretty good. And they obviously just got over it, got a big win over Kenny Brooks, who did a great job his first year at Kentucky after leaving Virginia Tech. That's going to be a dogfight. That's not going to be a blowout in any way. But once you get to the regional final, the way UConn is playing and the way that Paige Beckers went out on her home floor with 34 points last night with the play of Sarah Strong as the freshman and AZ Fudd, who's getting better and better. Remember, she missed last year because of knee injury. I don't see how USC can beat UConn.
Yeah, it's a good women's tournament setting up. It's just a shame that Juju's not going to be a part of that because we love superstars in the biggest moments here. Yeah. And hopefully she'll come back certainly healthy at that point and be able to carry that torch for the women. Let's shift it back over to the focus here on the men's because, again, Sweet 16 Elite 8 Day action coming up in a few days. Have some time to decompress, get those thoughts together, Coach. So we'll start right at the top of the heap at the FanDuel Sportsbook with the championship odds to cut down the nets. The Duke Blue Devils increasing their lead, per se, to a plus 220 price after key victories here. I don't say key victories is the right word, impressive victories over the Mount and also Baylor before they take on Duke here coming up in the Sweet 16. Florida, Auburn, Houston, Tennessee, Alabama. Looking at those odds here, any surprises for you at this point, or we're just rolling chalk and may the best team win?
Well, listen, obviously the 4-1 seeds who net ratings were at 35 or better are obviously at the top of the board. I think Houston is the team to beat here, but the reason why Houston's got the worst odds is if you look at the two seeds, I think everybody trusts Tennessee more than they trust anyone else as a two seed with Rick Barnes' team ability to play defense. I think the team, if you look at the 4-1 seeds, well, who's the one you still think is the most vulnerable? And to me, I still think it's Auburn. Now, people may look at Michigan and say, I don't know. But listen, what UConn did is show that the blueprint is to make it a street fight and to make it tough and hope that you have quality bigs. Well, Michigan rolls out 2 7-footers and Vlad Goldin and obviously Danny Wolf, the transfer from Yale. Those two bigs are going to pose problems. Now, it's going to come down to whichever guards make more shots, but Auburn should be on alert. And if they get by Michigan, I mean, that other half, I don't think, you know, Michigan State has been playing with fire. Let's be honest. If we look at this, like, and you just close your eyes and you name the top five, the top 10 coaches in the country, Chris Beard's one of them. I mean, he's one of them. Look what he did at Texas. Left Rodney Terry, a team that went to the Elite Eight, and as soon as he had to recruit his own guys, they fired his you-know-what in 2 years. Ole Miss is a dangerous team that I think, honestly, may come out of this bracket in the South.
I'm really fascinated with, does anybody give Duke a run for the money? Because whoever they end up facing at some point here, and I think Alabama has the best shot at beating them. I don't think Arizona can do it, but I think Alabama's got the best shot of beating them if anybody's going to. But to me, this is all about, is Duke going to sweat at all, or are they going to finally get their backs up against the wall in a national championship game? And then we don't know what they're going to do here, Coach, because it's been a hot minute since Duke's been pressed at all.
Well, let me tell you something right now. I know people, including our director of social media, Rebecca Harrelson, is praying that our old buddy Caleb Love is going to do it to Duke. Just like Jeremy Roach was supposed to do it to Duke in the last round. That ain't going to happen. I like Duke minus the points. I wouldn't be surprised if they win by 15+. Alabama, you hope, because of the inside presence of Clifford Morley as a rim protector and shot blocker. But I don't think, if you think about it, at the four spot, Grant Nelson, who has a propensity to get into foul trouble, has got to guard Cooper Flagg. Good luck with that one. That ain't going to work out really well for them. So to me, if there's a team that's going to give the problems to Duke, it's Houston. Because if you talk about a team that can muck the game up, that can make it a street fight, remember, Duke is one of the slowest teams in the country. Well, who may be the slowest? That's Houston. That game is going to be unbelievable, and here's the key. I know Juwan Roberts looked good there. Listen, Joe, it's the guard play. They have that guy right there, LJ Cryer, who's a shot maker. You have Emmanuel Sharpe. You have Uzan, the transfer from Oklahoma. You have enough guards. You have quality bigs, and you have the style of play and the coaching that poses the matchup. If there's a team that knocks Duke off of winning a national title, it's a team I think wins it, and that's Houston.
Coach, which players impressed you the most so far in this tournament run, and who also has a chance to reach that potential and be like, that's a superstar here?
Well, listen, Cooper Flagg's been more than the goods. But to me, look at the way that LJ Cryer has been absolutely fantastic in his shot-making and shot creativity. That's the key. That's what makes Houston different than before. They got guys that can create their own shots, and there are multiple guards at that.
How about that? Region by region, we're going to go over next. Sweet 16 Thursday, maybe the best card you will ever see out here. And us three, we're going to talk about it next. Come on back with us here on the line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, rapid fire in the regions here. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun to watch on Thursday and Friday night. The Sports Grid Network's got you covered. JY is going to be live in studio. We're going to be kicking it here as we count down to an NCAA champion. Let's start here in the East region, Coach. It's Duke. It's Alabama. It's Arizona and BYU. What a fun bracket here. A lot of talent, a lot of tempo, and a lot of three balls going down. So I'm going to ask you this question. Give me the team you think is going to win this region and also a team with the possible upset based on price point that you like.
Well, to me, listen, Duke is the clear favorite, and that's why, you know, I'm going to take them at minus 175. But it's hard to take that bet. You know, it's probably better to just take them, you know, minus a point or whatever and kind of go game by game. If there's a team that that could be the value play that can maybe pull it off, honestly, it's BYU. Because they have a way that they could score in bunches. And all you need, and you've seen it with obviously with Pitino and how their team's out, if you shoot the ball from three and the other team is off, the three-point shot, guys, has now become the great equalizer in basketball. So for a value play for me, it probably is BYU because I think that their three-point shooting, if they get hot for a couple of games, could lead to upsets, and that's why I like it at any place at 9-1.
So you had mentioned earlier, Coach, out in the South region, that you think the number one seed Auburn still very vulnerable here, taking on a Michigan team that only knows how to win close games, apparently. But boy, that Ole Miss Michigan State Izzo versus Beard is going to be fascinating as well, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you know, a guy in Tom Izzo that is the best to me, you know, in this generation of after timeouts, after halftime, just adjusting on the fly. There's no one better than Tom Izzo. He's got more tricks up his sleeve than anyone else. But Chris Beard's team is really tough. And they're battle-tested in that SEC. And I just think if Ole Miss can get out to a lead, they have enough that they can kind of pull this out. So to me, that's the team I'm looking at. I'm looking at Ole Miss possibly pulling off the upset here and taking out Michigan State. So for me, I don't believe Auburn's coming out of this region. They haven't looked good going into the tournament, right? They didn't cover their first round game. They literally were in a game with Creighton until the last 5 minutes until Creighton's wheels fell off. And now I don't know if they're going to get – I don't know if they can get past Michigan and Ole Miss or Michigan State. So to me, I look at the other side, who I like more. I like Chris Beard. I like his team's ability to defend, and I think they have enough scoring. So plus 650, that's a value play right there for Ole Miss to come out of the South.
Absolutely. I feel like the, like two wild cards there, like Ole Miss and Michigan, when they're playing at the top end of the game, where it seems that coming into the tournament, maybe sort of, we're not going to really watch them through eventually they get knocked out. Those 650 price and 7-1 price is very valuable in that region there. Let's move it over to the Midwest. It's Houston, it's Tennessee, it's Kentucky and Purdue. My goodness. If you get the Elite Eight matchup with Houston and Tennessee, rock 'em, sock 'em, robot, turn off the, you know, change out the three-point line, turn off the shot clock, let's go back to 1983 and get it popping here. Is Houston your favorite team in this? And also, if it's not Houston, boy, look at some of those price points, 240, 6-1, and 7-1, talking about Kentucky and Purdue, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think Houston is the clear favorite, and as they should be because of their weight, ability to defend. If there's a value play, guys, it's simple. It's Purdue. Why? They're an Indy. And I still don't understand that a Houston team that wanted to go to the West because they were worried about what exactly what was going to happen. And that's Purdue basically having a home game. It's not going to be at Mackey, but it's going to feel like it. So can Purdue and those guards that have experience with Lawyer and Smith, right? Can Kaufman Wren do enough inside? I get worried about him getting into foul trouble like he did in the first game of the tournament, obviously. But if there's a value play, it's Purdue for the simple fact that they're basically at home.
Yeah, the two defensive teams versus two offensive teams should be an interesting when it all said and done there. But what about the West? I'm a big Florida guy. I don't think Maryland stands a chance. And I would not at all be shocked if Arkansas beats Texas Tech here, Coach. What are you thinking?
This is the one that's going to be completely wild. I mean, I was on St. John's because I thought that St. John's were going to be the type of team that was going to make the game a street fight, right? So Dan Hurley has shown that that is going to be the way to beat Florida. So who out of those three teams can make it the biggest street fight? It's Texas Tech. Maryland, listen, we can say whatever you want about Reese's shot. Derek Reese's shot the buzzer. They shouldn't have been in that damn position to begin with because, number one, they didn't foul what a foul to give. And number two, you're up by two. Everybody knows the one thing you don't do is give them a three. So Kevin Willard showed what Kevin Willard does at times, which is drive people crazy. but he's got immense talent. I don't think he has the guard play to go against Florida, although his bigs can match up with Florida's bigs. The other side, Arkansas is so intriguing, because, and I want people to understand this. They are where they were supposed to be. Don't tell me this Cinderella run with Calipari and, oh, my God, this is a – they were a top 15 team to begin the year. They're a top 5-10 team. That team tremendously underachieved, and they shot the ball like you know what, and R.J. Lewis decided, I'll hold your beer and I'll shoot it worse than you guys, right? So to me, Texas Tech, Grant McCaslin's done a great job with this team. I think that's a team that takes it out, and I think they get to the Final Four at plus 280.
Yeah, I need Chance McMillan to come back. Light it up from the three-point line. I've loved Texas Tech all year long. Let's see if they can put it together. If we just focus on Thursday, Coach, there is one game, BYU and Alabama. 175.5 as that total. If I give you a free wager today on a Tuesday, is that game going over or is that game staying under?
No, I give it going over. There will be if you play defense in that game, you're probably getting benched. Okay? Layup lines, three-point shots, back and forth, up and down. It will be a game of runs. This will be a game that you can play multiple times because it's just going to bounce back and forth with runs.
I'm telling you, one of the best cards I've seen in a long time is that Thursday night slate for the Sweet 16 is going to be absolutely sensational, and we're going to have you covered here at the Sports Grid Network. Now, thinking about having covered Joe Ranieri and the coach going to continue next. Guy, I got to go to radio. Kevin's not showing up again today. Somebody's got to hold down the fort. That's your boy right here. We'll be back. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here, the early line on the Sports Grid Network. We said goodbye to Donnie Wrightside. We've got the coach here. We'll take it out. Coach, here over the next couple of minutes. Before we get to the NBA, though, I just want to ask you with this Sweet 16, if we were to reseed it, are we still looking at the same top four in your bracket? Would you keep the same four, Florida, Duke, Houston, Auburn? Or do you think maybe a Michigan State or somebody else should be there instead of the Auburn Tigers?
No, I mean, maybe you could say Tennessee over Auburn. Right, that's maybe the only one I would look at. But there, besides that, the top three seeds of Duke, and you can put it in your order if you want Florida, right. or Houston 2-3. I think that's the okay. I just think the reason why Houston's got the worst odds of the 4-1 seeds is they have to go through Tennessee possibly in a regional final. If you put Tennessee in any other region, that other team drops a little bit, even Duke.
Right. Yes, and I think it's going to be interesting here starting on Thursday on some of these games, because if some of the favorites, the one seeds, are going to lose, maybe it's this round where it happens. So we're going to see, as we got plenty of college basketball still to go. Let's not forget the NIT, the CBI, and whatever else they're still playing. Plenty of college basketball around. But tonight, a lot of focus in South Beach when the return of Jimmy Butler to the Miami Heat as the Golden State Warriors are coming to town, Coach. And they were going to put a tribute video together there for Jimmy Butler. And he turns around and tells them, yeah, I don't really care. Kind of indifferent to it one way or the other. Golden State, listen, they need to keep winning. Miami needs to keep winning games. Miami can't close anybody out. They finally broke that losing streak. We don't know if Steph's playing. He's still questionable. But let's not forget, Wiggins just is coming off a game he dropped 42. You know, Wiggins is going to be looking forward to this matchup tonight as well.
Oh, yes, but here comes Himmy. Himmy Butler is returned. And listen, it's a sneaky big game, Joe, and you mentioned it. One, because Chicago's played really well and has passed Miami in that race for 9-10, which is a pretty big race because you get home court in regards to that. When you look at the West, obviously, Golden State has jumped up to the sixth seed, but they're only two behind the Lakers and the Grizzlies that have both lost three games in a row. So they can make a little bit of a rut. You know why Jimmy Butler doesn't care about the video? It's in Miami. Ain't no one gonna be there. Listen, the way the Miami Heat fans show up, you got to play that midway through the third quarter because they're going to miss half the first quarter anyway being late, and they're going to miss half of the beginning of the third quarter being late, so you better hold on to it. But at the end of the day, you got to go with the team that is better right now, and that's Golden State. We'll see if Steph plays, but I do like Golden State minus a point. I think Jimmy wants to stick one last little jab at the Miami Heat and Pat Riley. Remember, Jimmy gets paid, Jimmy happy. Jimmy no get paid, Jimmy gets mad. Jimmy's happy. He got paid. He'll be good tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, Miami 5-17 since the trade of Jimmy Butler. The Golden State Warriors 16-3 once they got Jimmy Butler there. But it feels like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Coach. Give me Miami early. Give me the Warriors late. And we should be able to cash a few tickets in this spot here tonight. What is going on with your Knicks, by the way, here? No, we still don't have Brunson. I don't think McBride is going here tonight. Shouldn't be a tough game, but I don't know, Coach. I'm a little worried about this Knicks team here. They got the late, I can believe the Clippers coming up on deck, too. What do we do here with Dallas and Anthony Davis coming to town?
Well, the thing is we don't know who's going to play with Dallas because I do believe Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, played last night. So in the second leg of a back-to-back, so we have to see who plays. Do we even get Anthony Davis tonight? So to me, the Knicks, someone you want to watch some of the bench guys. Tyler Kolek's had some good minutes. If they hang these little low Tyler Kolek, like three and a half assists because of the new Deuce, you may want to jump on it. Tyler Kolek will get minutes, and this will be a guard that's not going to want to shoot the ball, get other guys involved. Also, look at Mikal Bridges' points. He's played a little bit better as he's starting to get the ball, particularly someone like Kolek, who wants to keep feeding him the ball as much as possible.
Yeah, I am with no Brunson, no McBride, Miles Bridges is the guy for me. Just give me as many points as humanly possible because he's going to score them here tonight, especially with no Anthony Davis. It looks like he won't go on a second of a back-to-back there. Coach, it's always a pleasure, my man. We will see you again. Obviously, plenty of college basketball. The early line returns again tomorrow on the grid. Enjoy the day.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.